right. So we're going to have this Oprah-style questioning again. I'm all far, too. It's kind of weird. But anyway. It's okay. So we'll go for about 25 minutes. Okay, it's like 9:45. So if you guys have more questions, just text that number. All right. And it might come to my phone. All right. But just to start it off, I thought we would ask Amy, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit just so we know a little bit about you.
Okay. My name is Amy, and we've been married for about 13 years. I'm originally from Georgia, or actually I was born in Korea, and then I grew up in Georgia. I moved out here for work, and then that's where we met. So we met out here. And let's see, I'm a stay-at-home mom now. I worked before we got married and before kids. But now I stay home. And that's it, I think.
All right, thanks. Maybe you guys could share how you guys got together, too.
Because
the people want to know.
Let's see. So after I moved out here, I was working as an accountant, and I was attending, I wasn't attending Evergreen at the time, but I had a friend who was attending Evergreen and a few friends, and they invited me to the young adult group at Evergreen, Praxis, and that's where I first met Jason at the young adult group.
That's when I swept her off her feet.
Yeah, so Jason, let's hear about that.
So actually, we met, and then she was training for work. And so she was kind of in Calgary for a while, just kind of in and out of town. So we met briefly, got to know each other. And I think someone just brought the story earlier and reminded me. So what happened was I was studying for my boards at the time, and you were studying for
my
CPA exam. And I just got to know her, and I was studying at this Barnes & Nobles in Burbank, and I thought I saw her there. And I wasn't sure, and I went to sit down, and she left right before I got to go say hi. And so for the next, like, 5 months, I went there every week to go study. So I was like this total stalker, and she was never there. And I don't think we saw each other for a few months after that because she was training and stuff. And so, yeah, I was told stalker, and then, so don't do that, please. But then eventually she finished all training, and we got to know each other more at the Bible study, and one thing led to another, and here we are, 13 years later, 14 years later.
Okay, thank you, guys. We'll get right into the questions. I feel like my voice is so much louder than theirs, is that right? Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. But the first question is, how do we keep on dating, or how do we keep dating focused on marriage and hold marriage to a high standard without making marriage itself an idol?
Well, I think when we make marriage an idol, we often think that marriage is going to solve all our problems. Marriage will make us happy. Marriage will give us security and satisfy us. And I think we need to be careful not to think that way and make sure we're finding all those things in Christ. And that will help us not to put marriage on this big pedestal. Because marriage is nice and wonderful, but it comes with all kinds of challenges and problems. And you see a lot of your own sin and selfishness. So there's all kinds of challenges when it comes to marriage, too. But I think that's, I hope that kind of answers. I think that's one of the big ways people make it an idol.
And I think, as anything, you have to hold marriage loose, too, because it's temporary. It's not something that we're going to experience in heaven. And but Christ is not. He's permanent, right? And we want to always treasure what's eternal and not what's temporal. So.
Yeah, that was good. If you guys have any follow-up to like the questions that you asked, you can just text me again. And I know who you are. So, okay. Another one is, how would you conduct, or how do you conduct a guy-girl friendship in terms of how much to share personal life? Like, what does guarding one's life look like, actually, or heart?
I think you need to be very careful. I think, especially when it's just friendship, you want to be careful in terms of just opening your heart and being too intimate. I don't know. Do you have any share with that?
Like just friendship, right? Not in your dating relationship.
I think so, yeah.
I would think err on the side of caution. I think as you become too open, there can develop attraction and then there's confusion and assumptions. So I think get to know each other. And if you get to a level where you want to get to know each other more at that level, then think about a dating relationship. But before that, maybe just kind of focus on just some of their qualities. Are they loving the Lord? Are they a good servant? Are they a good leader? Things like that.
And I think that's why it's important to get to know each other in a group setting too, because you just want to ask and answer things that you can do in a public place, or even if anybody can hear you, that it's okay. It's not so intimate that you're afraid to share with other people who are around you. So maybe that could be kind of something that you could think about too while you're sharing. Like, is it something that I would share when there's like 10 of my friends there, you know, like with a bunch of people there? Or is it something that's more intimate and personal that I would only share with, like, you know, one person? So.
Yeah, kind of shifting gears here a little bit. Kind of going back to your message about like attraction and stuff like that. If, you know someone's like godly, let's say a guy or a girl, but you're not attracted to them, should you force yourself to be?
No, you shouldn't force yourself. I think when it comes to attraction, I think we have to realize that attraction is not like this chemistry or this spark that happens necessarily, but attraction is really the standards and the thinking that we're setting up in our heart, okay? And if in our heart and our thinking we decide that I'm going to be attracted to people who are very good looking, then that's what you'll always be looking for. And those are things that will attract you. But if in your heart you decide, let's say you love missions, okay, and that is one of the filters in your heart, then all of a sudden people who do missions are attracted to you. Okay, so I think you want to constantly examine your heart, and are you looking for truly godly characteristics, or are they just superficial things? And that will affect what attracts you. Okay, and kind of like I shared earlier, the focus should be on where they are in the Lord and where their heart is, but it doesn't mean you can ignore everything else. I think if you're honest with yourself and you feel your heart's moving in the right place and there is zero attraction, then, you know, maybe it's time to move on.
Anything to add, Amy, to that?
No.
And I think to add to that, I think... Because this is a good question, right? I mean,
it's
people wonder this all the time. I think there are certain things we ought to be looking for in a husband and wife, and they should meet certain basic biblical principles, and they should be saved, they should grow in the Lord, right character. But I think there's a lot of room for freedom and preference in that as well. So it's not to discount that completely, but just make sure your priorities are right and you're not being too superficial in that.
And a follow-up question is there a point to getting to know a girl or a guy if you're not interested at all? Like, should you even talk to them? I don't know. I added that last part, sorry.
Well, you should talk to them. You should still be friends with them. I think, again, you should ask yourself why you're not interested in them. And the same thing, just kind of examine your heart. Are you discounting them just for whatever reasons, or truly you don't think they're a good spiritual leader, you don't think, you're not sure they're walking the right way? And if that's the case, you know, you can still be friends, you can still encourage them in that, but you shouldn't be dating them then, and you shouldn't pursue anything that's too intimate.
Yeah. Is it okay to date a non-believer if they're eager to learn more about God with the intention of converting them or sharing with them?
Missionary dating. You want
to? I think this is kind of a wisdom issue, and I would I would err on the side of no, just because it's I'm not going to say that it's wrong, but I think it's not wise, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I think it's dangerous, too, because missionary dating is always, yeah, not the most wise thing to do, just because you just don't know. I mean, like, you're trying to convert this person, maybe, but that's not your job. That's the Lord's, so I would err on the side of not, but I don't know if I would say it's sinful.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Bible says clearly that it is sin. The Bible does say you shouldn't marry a non-Christian, but I would agree. I think I would strongly discourage it. I think, like Amy said, you have no idea if this person's going to be saved, and if it's not, what are you going to do? Are you going to break up? And then all kinds of problems with that. So, and I think there's a good chance they will influence you negatively. You know, don't think that you're so strong that you can be in a tight relationship like that and not be influenced by their non-Christian way of thinking. So I would strongly discourage it. In fact, you know, if that were to come about with one of our leaders or someone who was serving in a visible thing, we'd probably ask them to step down if that were the case. You know, that's how strongly we'd feel against it. But we wouldn't say they're in sin, but we would strongly discourage it.
All right, this is totally different. What is a fuddy-duddy?
Am I dating myself? You guys don't know what a fuddy-duddy is? It's just.
I texted back and said, I'm not sure. Sounds negative.
It's just like, you know, like an old grandpa who, like, has these old school values and doesn't understand the young people.
Text it, Alex. Sorry.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Throw tomatoes?
No, keeping
your tomatoes. Oh. Meaning,
Alex.
Don't throw them at me.
Remember, there's no food in the sanctuary. So. Okay, here's a more serious one from the same fuddy-duddy person. How do you correct sinful habits in your dating relationship? What are the steps to changing and turning it around? And they're all kind of related, but should you break up if you've fallen into sin? Or do you have to?
I don't think you have to break up. I think none of us date perfectly. You know, we all fall short in some areas. I think we should, if you're convicted that you've fallen to sin or gone too far in some area, I think you need to sit down, like I said, and discuss this, study scripture together, pray through it together, seek repentance, forgiveness from God and for one another, and really commit to walking wisely again in that area. I think if you do that and it's still a constant struggle and you're still in sin, then seek counsel, and then you may need to consider separating if it just you can't move forward. But I don't think it necessarily means you have to break up right away. I think, you know, God can change hearts and He forgives, so.
I think you have to be very clear what you're repenting of and then knowing how to battle that. Just, I think you have to really have a specific plan for it and not just be like, oh, okay, you know, we've sinned, we need to just, you know, ask for forgiveness. But I think you have to really acknowledge it, confess it, repent of it, and then come up with a plan to put on something that is godly, that's, you know, that's opposite of what you're repenting of. So, yeah, I think it has to be very intentional and something that you have to really put into action.
Yeah, along those lines, you know, set up boundaries. You know, if being alone is a struggle, don't be alone in those situations. You know, never be alone together other than maybe in a public place. Get accountability partners and groups to be praying for you and keeping you accountable. And yeah, do whatever it takes to avoid it.
Kind of going along with those lines, actually, what are some good reasons for two faithful Christians to break up? I guess what's legitimate there?
That's a good question. I think if you come to the realization that this person's not the one, now the next question is, how do you know that? I think this is one of those where, again, I think there's basic criteria when you look for, and then once those fit, then there is some freedom of choice, preference involved again, and I don't think we can truly quantify that and identify that clearly for everyone. We were talking about this last night. I think little things like, does this person just, even though they cause me to stumble a lot because of my weakness in a certain area, or the way they lead just, it doesn't work for me. You know, things like that, they're not really clear-cut bad things, but they may be problems enough where it's hard to see yourself being married. I hope that helps a little bit.
I think if you're kind of going back to the question you asked, I think if you guys are struggling with sin and just constantly aggravating each other's sin and not really growing, and you're not better off being together, then that might be a kind of a sign as well to make.
We got like a flood of questions all of a sudden, so we'll try to go through these. Should guys always initiate?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so they put, if so, I think they preemptively thought you might say that. If so, is it dangerous for girls to be interested in guys?
No.
No.
Maybe why as well. Like,
is it dangerous for girls should be interested
if
in guys.
They're not gonna, or I mean, I guess what they mean is it dangerous for them to just be interested in a guy if they know that they're not going to act upon it, if that makes sense?
They need to guard their hearts and not get too far ahead of themselves. I think a girl can still try to get to know a guy in a public setting, you know, just to get to know them, and that will help him get to know her a little bit, and if he sees interest. But I don't think she should initiate. I think really, as kind of the roles of men and women, the man should take charge of that.
How can we reconcile the idea of us being created for a relationship, but with the possibility that we might always be single?
What was the first part? Something about relationships?
How do we reconcile the idea of being created for relationships, but...
Created.
Yeah.
But the idea that we might always be single. Well, yes, it's true, we're created for relationships, and I think most people, God leads into a marriage and that type of relationship, but God has gifted some people to remain single, and I think there is a special gift to that where maybe they have less a need or desire to be in those type of relationships, and they can control their desires more. So I think there are a few that have been led that way, and I think all are in a relationship with Christ, so it's not like they're void of any relationship, and in relationships with others, maybe not to that level, but we still fulfill our need for relationship in other ways.
There's a couple of questions that have to do with kind of our relationships with each other when it comes to dating. The first one is, if there are two guys, hypothetically, who know each other, they're buddies, and they're pursuing the same girl, how much of an obligation do they have to, I guess, be clear or be cool with each other? Like, is it a battle or something? Or?
That's a good question. I think they should be honest with one another. They shouldn't play games together against or with each other either. They should be clear. And again, I think, like I talked about, I don't think as you get to know someone, I don't think we should demand exclusivity. You know, you could get to know someone. She could say, I'd like to get to know you, but I don't want to be exclusive. I may even want to try to get to know other people a little better as well. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think with the two guys, they should definitely be honest and clear with each other and value their friendship in that way.
Okay, the other question about like others is how much should the counsel of others weigh in your decision of pursuing someone? And who should you ask for counsel? This is a good question because I think a lot of guys will ask people, like, should I date? And everyone's like, no, no, no. And then next time you're like, oh, I already asked her. So.
Well, yeah, it depends on whose counsel it is. I think if it's wise counsel, you should value it. I think you should look for friends who you trust, who you think are mature in the Lord, who have a good understanding of Scripture, who know you well. And I think it is good to seek counsel because they may see things that you're blinded by in because of the emotion of it and you know, the infatuation of things, you know. So it's good to have maybe a clear head to kind of give you a little better perspective. But just make sure it's someone you trust and you know well.
All right, good. Sorry, it's just like shotgun style here, but one after another. What are some good resources or books that they could read or, I guess, messages they could listen to or something to further their study of this subject?
Are you?
I can't remember the author. I read this one. It's called Sex, Dating, and Marriage. I'll try to find the author and send it to you. I forgot. And that's the one that really looked at the neighbor relationship that I shared on. So I really appreciate that one. I read through some of Joshua Harris's books, Kiss, Dating, Goodbye. That's an older one. And When Boy Meets Girl, seeing some good principles in there. Yeah, I forgot to type up a bibliography list. I was going to do that. Timothy Keller has some good reading and writing on it.
I don't think I really read books on dating much, but I think the more important thing is to actually read books on just growing your faith and your spiritual growth, especially for the ladies, instead of seeking, you know, relationship, really, you should really be growing in your own relationship with the Lord. So I would pursue reading just good books on just growing my spiritual faith.
Aside from the sex part, how do you date for marriage without acting like you're married? Or like, what? How would that look different?
One, the commitment is very different. I think in a marriage, commitment is for life. In dating, a commitment can break up at any time, right? One person can decide this is not working out, and the next day, the commitment's over. So it's not a real commitment in that sense. So you need to remember that. I think the leadership and submission in a marriage is really comes to full force, is carried out fully, but in dating cannot be because there's not that commitment. So you can start thinking that way and practicing to a certain extent, but you can't demand full submission and leadership in that sense. So you can be careful with that. Any other thoughts? I think just even the general level intimacy needs to still be guarded because there's not that full commitment. And you know, you shouldn't, like I said, you shouldn't be planning for 20 years from now, 5 years from now. You know, you should be focusing on who you are now, what you're doing now, and not fantasizing about the future or planning too much.
So in dating, what should you try to learn about the other person?
I think you should learn their values. I think you should learn what their worldview is. You know, are they truly trying to live wisely and righteously and pursue holiness? And that's not easy to tell always just in a being friends like this. And that's why I think the dating is where you can really see where a person's heart is, you know. What are the things they struggle with? What are some of their idols that they're dealing with, and how are they dealing with those things?
Yeah, I think like responses to situations and circumstances, that's a lot. So some things like that, getting to know how they respond, how they react.
Yeah.
Even personality things. I mean, just little things, family background, just getting to know them. I think it's just, yeah, it's really everything, not just spiritual, but just even, yeah. Different.
Yeah, do you guys communicate interests. Well together?
Yeah.
What should a guy and a girl do if they like each other but can't date due to external circumstances? I'm assuming like parents maybe, or I don't know, one of them is fictional, or I don't know.
Then they should seek counseling if that's the case. And that's a hard question to answer without knowing more specifics. If it's a parent thing,
I think they should wait.
Yeah?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there is the idea of honoring, obeying your parents. Again, depends a lot on the situation, how old. I'm assuming college. I think in college it's tricky. I think you're still being supported by your parents, so there's still the idea of honoring and obeying them, and that you're not under their roof anymore necessarily, but there's still an obligation there. So I think you have to weigh that in. I think ultimately if it's the parents, to sit down and talk to them and understand where they're coming from, and be humble about that. I mean, they are your parents and they do love you, so they may have very valid reasons. Yeah, I'll start with that. I think beyond that, it'd probably maybe come talk to one of the leaders here, and we'd have to kind of assess the situation a little better and maybe give you some better advice that way.
Okay, we're going to do one last one. Sorry, guys. The last one is, how many years of dating is too much? We want to down to the day here.
20 is too much. I would say, in general, we've been waiting too long, I think. For whatever reasons, as time has gone, you know, people are getting married later and later and later. And I don't have great biblical reason for this, but I think God meant us to be married younger, you know. And you just look at when our bodies develop and hormones and all that, and it seems like we shouldn't be battling all that for 10, 15 years. I think there should be something said about getting married younger. You know, I don't want to put a number because I've heard that other churches all of a sudden there's the one-year rule, the six-month rule, you know. But I don't think it should take years and years to get to know someone to know whether they are the potential one or the right spouse. So if you're on year three, you should think about it for sure that maybe you should make a decision by now. And again, like I said, you should someone out there. And honestly,
it depends on when you start dating too, right? Because, I mean, there's some, in general, I guess, yeah.
So
there's some high school sweethearts who
I think
a lot longer,
you should start dating when you're ready to get married, right? And so if you're ready to get married and you find this the right one, then I don't think there should be a huge delay. A lot of people wait for all kinds of reasons, you know, till they get the right job, till this and that. But I think there's such a blessing and beauty to it. You know, I would encourage people to get married younger if they know it's the right thing and the right person.
All right. Thank you, Jason and Amy. Why don't we give them a hand? Thank you guys for coming out and serving our fellowship. And if you guys have any more questions, it's not like Jason's just going to walk out of here and disappear. He'll be here on Sunday. He'll be here for a little bit. So if you guys want to talk to him, I'm sure. I didn't ask him permission, actually. But hopefully you can talk with him, and it'll be okay. Let me pray for us, and then we will close, and we'll have our Bible study. Father, we're thankful for this time that Jason and Amy could come here and share things that you've taught them and things that you have taught them from your word. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to really think about what is truly most important. Father, we might think about how we can love you, Father, and how we can love each other. Father, how we can live in a way that pleases you and brings you honor and glory. Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, that that will be our desire, Father, that you will work in our hearts. And that you'll help us, especially through dating, but in every way, Father, to think about how we can make your name great through our lives. And Father, we pray that you'll bless the rest of our evening tonight. Thank you for bringing us all here, Lord. Thankful for your grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.